The New York Giants are getting ready to kick off training camp. But in the meantime, there's been a lot of breaking news around the NFL. There's been some big time extensions and some big time trade requests. One of the most recent trade requests that kind of sparked some interest from Giants fans was Vita Vea, Pro Bowl defensive tackle of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been in a little bit of a contract standstill with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now he's officially requested a trade. And of course, Giants fans were like, wow, that would be the final infinity stone to complete the gauntlet that is the New York Giants defensive line. They should totally make the trade. So today I called in some help. I got Alex back on the show to discuss this with me, give our takes on whether or not the New York Giants should, could, or would explore a trade for Vita Vea and make him that final piece in the middle of this Giants defensive line that they have been completely overhauling all offseason long, of course, with the trading away of Dexter Lawrence to get the number 10 overall pick, which turned into Francis Maui-Noah. But then they signed DJ Reader, they signed Shelby Harris, they lost Roy Robertson-Harris for most of the season due to that torn Achilles. And now, could they add Vita Vea in there as that final piece, or would they just stick with what they've got? So we're going to break into it in today's episode and just discuss Vita Vea. Could he be an option for the Giants? And just kind of having a conversation on the Giants interior defensive line at large here on today's episode of Fireside Giants, which is presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo. That's my co-host, Alex Wilson. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? Good to have you back. And what are your thoughts on the Giants? Should they be interested in trading for Vita Vea?
I'm doing fantastic. I haven't been on the podcast in quite some time. It's been a slow offseason. You know, one offseason, we don't have quarterback controversy, and Alex disappears for a month. So I'm honestly glad not to have quarterback controversy in terms of actual on-field performance. And, you know, looking at the Giants right now, what do they need? You know, people saying, oh, should we trade for Vita Vea? The likelihood is no. However, you see Vita Vea doing exactly what Dexter Lawrence did. He's like, they're not going to pay me. They're holding me hostage. Like, let me go. And he's one of those guys that makes a big difference on the interior of a defensive line. He was double teamed 241 times last year. Dexter Lawrence was double teamed 246, and he produced 14 pressures compared to Lawrence's 8. So pretty much the exact same amount of double teams, but he almost doubled the amount of pressures despite that. This is a very, very good player. This is a guy that, you know, anchors the middle of your defensive line. The Giants right now are going to be leaning a lot on DJ Reader. Roy Robertson Harris, what, tore his Achilles, so he's not going to be playing for a long time. And you have Darius Alexander and, you know, some other guys that they're just trying to see if they can survive in the trenches. Right now, I would wager it's not going to be the best group in the world, but they're hoping that their improved linebacker core can compensate a little bit. Arvell Reese, Tremaine Edmonds, you know, those guys can help clean up the second level so the interior defensive line isn't as exposed. But Vita Vea, I mean, plus Abdul Carter, plus Brian Burns, plus Kayvon Thibodeau, plus Arvell Reese, even you could use them all over the place. That is one of the scariest defensive lines in the league and is probably the best defensive line in terms of pure talent that we've had since the Super Bowl era. So, you know, it is definitely an interesting idea. The question is, can the Giants afford it? Can they afford to give more draft capital? Do they want to give more draft capital to acquire a player like this? You know, that's an interesting debate, Anthony. What do you think?
Honestly, if I had to give you my straightforward opinion, the Giants should hold on to their draft capital if it's a premium pick. Now, okay, we have seen moments in the NFL where star players have requested trades and they get traded for a lot less than you initially expect. Like, we've seen players who are in their 30s in the final year of their contract get traded for like day three picks, even though they're elite all-pro Pro Bowl players. So if this happens to be one of those moments where it's a surprising price tag for Vita Vea, and he could be had for a fourth round pick, yeah, absolutely, the Giants should go out there and they should make that trade. But if it ends up being the premium draft capital that most suspect it would be, about a second round pick, maybe even a third round pick if you're lucky, then I think the Giants probably hold on to those day two draft picks, right? I think this is a team that's young, that's rebuilding for the future, that's trying to create more homegrown talent and pay that homegrown talent going forward. I think that with them being young, with them having the opportunity to hit the reset button on the culture and on the roster here with John Harbaugh stepping in, a day two pick, that's very valuable. And that's something that you hold on to. But then again, you can make the argument here, Alex, and I'll toss it to you on this. You've got your quarterback on a rookie contract. Why not sacrifice a little bit of premium draft capital to get a proven commodity that will upgrade your defense? Yes, you'll have to pay him, but now's the window of opportunity to pay some players since your quarterback is on his rookie contract. What do you think of that argument? And is that one that the Giants should be making to hopefully justify making a trade like this?
Well, I know you guys missed me talking about the salary cap, so let's dive right back into my strong suit, looking at the salary cap. And right now the Giants have $10.1 million in available cap space. Now, it's not enough to do anything. They really want to bring that money into the regular season. They've restructured a lot of contracts. They've made a lot of financial decisions to cut costs, trying to put together a competitive team. But you're right. That quarterback position being on a rookie deal, especially in year two with a fifth-year option, you're in a spot where this is your chance. This is your window to spend egregiously and not look back. Vita Vea right now is 31 years old. So do you want to spend top dollar on a long-term contract for a 31-year-old defensive tackle? That's something that you might want to ask yourself, right? Dexter Lawrence is a lot younger than him. So, you know, I think that if you're not willing to spend it on Dexter Lawrence, you're probably not willing to spend it on Vita Vea either. That's my thought process right now. Like, if you weren't willing to spend it on a younger Dexter Lawrence, why would you give up draft capital just to spend it on Vita Vea, who's what, 2 years older, 3 years older than him, maybe two. And, you know, obviously it's still extremely productive, but it's a gamble. It's a risk. And I don't think the Giants are willing to take it. He missed almost 20% of his tackles last year. His tackling has, you know, kind of taken some steps in the wrong direction, but he's still obviously tremendous as a rusher and as a run stopper. But, you know, looking at the Giants' future salary space, next year they have almost $50 million in cap space. However, they can clear a lot of money by, you know, offloading guys like Paulson Adebo, depending on if he bounces back or not. Like, that's a decision for another day. Javon Holland's in the same breath as that. Darius Slayton, I would wager, is 100% gone. Chauncey Golston, you can save $5.5 million from cutting him. There's a lot of money the Giants are going to open up by having to make decisions on personnel in 2027. But for now, if you were to get Vita Vea, let's just say, like, play the game, you get Vita Vea, you pay him, you give up draft capital for him, you keep the cap hit really, really low in year one, you backload it to year two, you can make it work financially, but the logic doesn't make sense. Like, you know, if you weren't willing to pay Dexter, why are you willing to pay Vita Vea? I think that's kind of where my head goes with this, and I'd say the Giants probably are thinking, let's develop somebody. Let's see what Darius Alexander has. Like, this is the first year under John Harbaugh. They probably know, well, we can win games. We might not be a Super Bowl team, but we're going to take a big step towards that goal. That's the ideal scenario. And I think that's fine. And then you go into next year and you say, well, we have our first round draft capital. We have our second round draft capital. Let's spend it on a defensive tackle, a top defensive tackle in the draft class, and not spend the money on Vita Vea. Let's take that money and maybe allocate it towards top of the center market, or take that money and say, let's get the top left guard or a top this or top that or top cornerback. Like, this team, what happens if Deontay Banks doesn't look good? What happens if Paulson Adebo and, you know, Greg Newsome don't look? What if Colton Hood has, you know, you want to have that money to throw out weaknesses then and not in the first year of what they're probably thinking is a total reset in terms of aesthetic culture and ultimately discipline.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is really a brand new era and a brand new, you know, this is a transition into a new era is what I mean to say. So when I'm looking at this roster, I don't want to, right as we're getting into training camp, start throwing new stars into the mix and revamping things. I think let John Harbaugh settle in, let him enact his culture, install this identity. And then next year, I think once they have that foundation set, that's when you get a little bit crazy, right? And part of the reason why I think this is because I'm all the way bought in on Jackson Dart. I believe in him. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he flashed tremendous potential as a rookie. But we're going into year two of his career, and this is really the decisive season of any young quarterback's career. If you really think back to the 2019 season, I know all of us hated the Daniel Jones pick the moment that it was made, right? Most of us did, at least. But over the course of that rookie season, he won us over. He had that great start in his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And even though he had a really bad fumbling and turnover issue in his rookie season, he definitely flashed potential all throughout that season that made us believe by the end of the year that there was potential for him to be a franchise quarterback. And then in year two, he looked like a completely different player because the Giants brought in a whole new coaching staff and a brand new offensive coordinator. Now, here we are years later, we're doing it again. Jackson Dart, a lot of potential shown in his rookie season. The Giants have brought in a whole new coaching staff. And while I believe in this coaching staff, if I had to pinpoint one question mark on the staff, it would be Matt Nagy, since he hasn't called plays since he was the head coach of the Chicago Bears back in 2021. And when he did call plays for the Chicago Bears, he wasn't exactly good at it. So recently, he's been working as an OC under Andy Reid. I like the hire. I see potential in the hire, and I think he can do a great job with Jackson Dart, but there's still a risk element here. So while we are bought in, we believe we have a franchise quarterback. We have thought that before, and we have gotten burned by it, right? The Giants went all in signing Kenny Golladay and all of these other players because they believed Daniel Jones was a franchise quarterback. Over the course of the years, it didn't work out and they had to move on. Now, I'm going into the season with complete and utmost confidence in John Harbaugh and in Jackson Dart, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse, right? I want to see it this season. I want to see John Harbaugh, Jackson Dart, and Matt Nagy have success this season. And then next year, year three, that's when I think you go all in building around your young franchise quarterback if he truly proves to be a franchise quarterback in year two of his career. I even think you can look to the Houston Texans. You look at CJ Stroud in his rookie season. It was no doubt about it. He's a franchise quarterback. Here we are years later, and there are plenty of question marks about him, but the cracks really started to show in year two of his career. So sometimes these quarterbacks have a sophomore slump. Sometimes they have a year two leap. I'm really banking on that Jackson Dart year two leap, but I also think at the same time, you don't want to go all in on this roster and tie up too many assets, premium draft picks to this quarterback before he's really proven himself as a franchise guy. So that's just me being a little bit more in the middle here, not overly optimistic, not overly pessimistic, but just trying to be realistic about where we are in the timeline of Jackson Dart's development as the Giants hit reset here. And that's why I think moves like this are better off served in 2027 rather than 2026. So before we dive a little bit deeper into it though, Alex, I do want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which of course is Prize Picks. Now, if you guys haven't heard of Prize Picks yet, it is America's number one sports picks app. Super easy to use. All you do is pick more or less on a few of your favorite player stats and you lock in your lineup. Very straightforward. And it's available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. And one of the coolest parts about Prize Picks, they have a feature that allows you to follow your friends and others on the app like you would any other social media platform. So you can follow me on the app. I've got my profile shown right here at Anthony Rivardo. So follow me, tail my picks and lineups before I even post them here on the channel. You can also follow Alex at Alex Wilson ESM on Prize Picks. So anytime he makes a pick, you could see it and you could tail it. And we will follow you back and we will tail your lineups as well. So really love playing on Prize Picks right now. They're undergoing a little bit of maintenance, so can't make picks with you guys right now in today's episode, but figured I would show you my profile. And I do have some open lineups already made that you guys have seen me make on the channel for the upcoming 2026 NFL season. I'm really excited for this season, really excited to see if some of my season-long picks actually hit, since I've made like dozens of them here on the channel while discussing Prize Picks. So definitely tail along with some of those, go through, let me know what you think, and drop your usernames down below in the comment section, and we will follow you on Prize Picks. So if you want to get in on the action, download the app using code HMA and the link in the description. Play your first $5 and get $150 in lineups if you win. So no pressure, but definitely win that first one on Prize Picks using code HMA. Download the app. Good luck. Enjoy the games. And remember to always play responsibly. So, Alex, we've kind of reached the point of conclusion, I think, with our discussion on Vita Vea. We'd both love to have the player. He's an excellent player. He'd fix the run defense immediately. He'd be the perfect one-for-one replacement probably for Dexter Lawrence, plus you're pairing him with Reader and Harris. It would be awesome to have him, but I think we both agree with where the Giants are at in their timeline, with where they are at financially and in their draft capital. It probably just doesn't make a ton of sense for them right now. But that kind of wraps that discussion. Now I want to ask you, since you haven't been on the channel for a while, as we head into training camp, what are you keeping an eye on? What are you looking for as we go to Giants training camp? I think they're going to practice for the first time either later today or tomorrow. I know tomorrow is an open practice, so we'll have some clips. We'll have some things to discuss on the channel. Can't wait for that. But just what are you keeping an eye on as we enter John Harbaugh training camp number one?
Well, let me just say, very, very upset that they're not doing training camp really at the Quest Diagnostic Center in MetLife, just because I live 15 minutes away. I would love to go and get all the clips and show you guys, but new era and new style. So they're in West Virginia, middle of freaking nowhere. And sorry if you're from West Virginia, that's just where I assume you are, in the middle of nowhere, having lived in New York City my whole life. But listen, you look at this Giants team, you look at what they need. What they need is to be disciplined. What they need is to come out of the gate feeling like they're ready to play, not ready by week 7 or week 8. That's been the problem with the Giants over the last decade or so. They come out of the gates looking like they're not even ready to play in week 1, let alone in week 5 or 6. Like, they just don't look disciplined. They don't look prepared. They don't look like they're mentally equipped to handle, you know, high intensity moments. They don't make good decisions. They make mistakes in critical, you know, apex moments of a game. Those things can't happen at the highest level. They can't. And when you look at what this team is trying to build, what John Harbaugh is trying to build here, is a team that does all the little things right. Everyone does their job, right? I don't need this. I don't need Kayvon Thibodeau in coverage. You know, I don't need this guy. I don't need these things happening where it's you're exposing their weaknesses when you need to be exposing their strengths. And I think that John Harbaugh is going to try and get every player to do their job at a high level, right? Every single player has to do their job. If everyone does their job, the whole team does their job. That's kind of the context of a team sport, right? If every individual piece does the right thing, the collective does the right thing. If a couple guys, you'll see Deontay Banks like missing a tackle or not even trying to tackle. You know, if you see a guy lacking effort, you know, the whole thing falls apart because of a bunch of critical pieces not doing their individual jobs. And I think that's going to be the disciplinary lesson the Giants learn. If you don't do your job, and I'm not talking about missing a tackle because it was a hard tackle to me. I'm not talking about getting beaten coverage because the other guy ran a sick route. I'm talking about lack of effort. I'm talking about not understanding the scheme. I'm talking about lack of discipline, awareness, and general things that should not happen, the refinements of a player's mentality from a mental and physical standpoint. If you are compromised from the stuff that has to be done at you know, correctly every time, you cannot play on this team. And I think that's what John Harbaugh is going to set the tone when you look at guys like Banks or Jalen Hyatt or guys that, you know, Jalen Hyatt stopped running his route in the middle of a route that would have put him in the end zone to make a play on a contested catch, and he just stopped. And it results in a game-ending interception, right? Those types of things result in you riding the bench for the rest of the year. Like, there is no excuse for making mistakes like that, not knowing your route, not knowing what the game plan is, not knowing the time on the clock. Like, these things are awareness-based, and I think the Giants have been pretty bad at those for the last 10 years. And I'm hoping you pay John Harbaugh $20 million a year, he fixes those problems. Discipline, awareness, general practice of a game, those things are no longer reasons the Giants are losing. The reasons the Giants are winning close games. And so I hope that he can get that right. We know Jackson Dart is a smart guy, and he's been definitely given his flowers for the mental aptitude he does possess. But everybody else has to keep up, right? You can't have guys compromising close games because they make a dumb mistake, you know, jumping off sides or not running the routes correctly. Those things are inexcusable and ultimately result in long-term benching. So, you know, you ask me what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing this team playing as a unit, people not making dumb mistakes. And practice is four mistakes. I hope they make them now and not in games. You know, make those mistakes now. But cleaning it up, you know, guys treating practice like it's a real game experience, a real game environment, because that's how you're prepared to play an NFL team. Your practices are like a game-like experiences, not country club, Brian Dable walkthroughs where like no one's going full speed. It's like everyone's at 50%. No one gives a shit. So that needs to change. And I think it will. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Absolutely. I'm in 100% agreement with you. The number one thing that I'm keeping an eye on this training camp, Jackson Dart and his development in Matt Nagy's offense, as I mentioned earlier. And number two is the intensity, the accountability, the discipline. You know, I want to see this be a legitimate preparation summer. I've been so critical over the last several years, Alex, you can attest to this. I've been abundantly critical of the way that the Giants practice and the way that they don't prepare properly for that first month of the season. And that's shown up time and time again. 40-0 loss to Dallas, right, in prime time. The embarrassment of a loss in the centennial season versus the Minnesota Vikings. Last year's loss, right, against the Washington Commanders where they didn't score a touchdown. The team has just been coming out of the gate completely unprepared and lazy. They look lazy. They look soft, right? Every single year under Brian Dable. But now, going into this season with John Harbaugh beating the crap out of these dudes all summer long at training camp, I have a feeling we're going to see a better product in week one and hopefully in month one of the season. If you look at the track record of John Harbaugh's 18-year career as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, he has a 67% winning percentage in the month of September. That's because he trains hard in the summer. He practices hard in training camp. He prepares for the regular season by actually putting the work in the summer. The Giants over the last couple of years, they've spent the summer too afraid to get injured and resultingly not working hard enough to prepare their bodies for the rigor of a full 17-game season. Now, this year, they're taking the opposite approach. They're going to practice hard to prepare their bodies to play hard. And that is the key distinction that I've been calling for the last couple of years. And we are getting now with John Harbaugh kicking off training camp, his first training camp as the head coach of the New York Giants, having the team practice in 10 of their 11 first days of training camp. So I love that change. I love the idea that we're going to get more accountability, more discipline. And I think all of this is a welcome change to the operations of the New York Giants. And it's something that they've desperately needed for the last, I would say, 4 years or so now. So can't wait for training camp to finally kick off. And can't wait to have Alex back on the channel regularly as we break down these training camp practices in the coming days, weeks, leading into preseason, which is really only 2 weeks away. Can't believe it, but super excited about it. So everybody, appreciate you tuning in. Definitely make sure to give Alex a nice warm welcome back down below in the comment section. And make sure you let him know that you want him back on the channel more frequently, as I will be continuing to annoy him to get him back on. Or yeah, if you prefer solo, let us know. We'll take whatever feedback we get from this episode. But appreciate everybody. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below. Follow us on social media at Fireside Giants, at Alex Wilson ESM, and at Anthony_Rivardo on Twitter and Instagram. We'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.